Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And impassioned pleas about your Detroit Red Wings now have a home. Today, we've got a few things that aren't going to be so much fun to talk about, including, are we officially tanking? We're going to talk about that Nashville Predators game and how bad it was from an advanced analytics perspective. But before we do that, Mike, we've got some business to take care of.
We got some business. It's not quite time for the madness, the macho madness. Yeah. That is college basketball in March. But that doesn't mean the fun has to wait. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sports app. It's true. I looked up top sportsbook apps. And what came up? DraftKings. There's the proof and the pudding. Yeah, there's all sorts of DraftKings in my pudding. So DraftKings is giving all new players a chance to cash $100. Boom. New customers bet $1 on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game. This week, if there's a basketball game and you see it, place a bet on a three-pointer because nobody does long-range twos anymore. They all go to the three-line or they try and get free throws. It's a whole philosophy. Everybody's doing it. Even the Pistons. My God. Second-round pick Saben Lee hit 3 three-pointers with his weird cockamamie shot that's hopefully going to get corrected with some coaching there. Dwayne Casey, get on that. All right, here we go. So new customers can bet $1 on any team, even the Pistons with Saben Lee. I can't stress it enough. Second round draft pick, point guard. Nobody thought he would make it. He's hitting threes. So this is like free money for you. So hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. And if your team makes it rain, you cash $100. That's all it takes is for one free three-pointer. Hit by your chosen team. Turn that dollar into $100. Sounds like a no-brainer to me. The slam dunk. Tomahawk of an offer won't be around forever, so head to the App Store now, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and get in on all the action!
And if basketball isn't for you, because guess what? You're watching a hockey podcast. Who would have thunk it? DraftKings Sportsbook has daily odds that Matt loses on all the time because he bets on the Red Wings. In general, hockey, soccer, and so much more. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its customers since 2012. So they know a thing or two about big paydays. Mike, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to get your shot to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. That's promo code THPN for new customers to get a shot at 100-1 odds on any basketball team to hit a three-point shot only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Michigan, or Virginia only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. Winnings paid out and for $25 free bets. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT or in Virginia, call 888-532-3500.
Yeah. All right, let's get
no swearing in the ads. Now Matt's got to edit.
I didn't do it in the call to action, though. We should be fine. All right, man, let's talk some hockey. Now that we have business out of the way.
Where do we want to start? All right, so I did some research, Mike. I put together, since I can't get this from Natural Stat Trick, I took all their stats, put it in an Excel spreadsheet, and took a look at the Red Wings games.
Beautiful.
This was our third worst game, Mike, in expected goals against.
Oh, first man. Game.
So, and this, of course, we were talking about the 2-0 defeat to the Nashville Predators. So what happened here? Oh, look it. We got Pete's on board. Huge ad read. I thought we really nailed it on that one.
Pete, put some money down on Saban Lee from downtown, baby. Woo!
So here's what's going on, Mike. We have this strategy that we're all sold on here at Red Wings Rant from Mr. Jeff Blashill. It's to limit events. And damn it all to hell if Jonathan Bernier isn't playing himself right off the team, considering this was our third worst game in regards to expected goals against. And this is specifically expected goals against per 60 you were talking about. And, Mike, you only allowed 2 goals. But, Mike, where I want to focus and where Steve Yzerman wanted to focus, passive-aggressively, I may add, on his press conference, we know. Let's say it again, Mike. Who's going to be our coach next season? It's not going to be Jeff. We know that. But, sorry, Pete, but he shouldn't get fired right now. And it's probably, come on, don't make that face. Now we're going to lose Pete as a viewer, too. It's just going to happen because it's, I mean, Mike, it's right. It's just in the written rule. It's in the written pages of Red Wings future history. Is it not?
Matt? Let me trot out the first line for you here before we fire Jeff Blashill. Larkin, Mantha, assistant captain Franz Nielsen. Now, I know you might be saying to yourself, yeah, but Jeff is the one who put the lines together. So that's just, Michael, that's another reason to fire him. But no, man, nobody is scoring. It doesn't matter who you put together. I would not worry so much about consistency because we've nailed the consistent part. Basically every game we score 1 to 2 goals. We broke that streak yesterday by getting no goals. But I don't know how much blame you can really put on Blashill when your first line features Franz, don't call me a goal scorer, Nielsen.
Look, I think that, I mean, that's the best point to make. Like, there really isn't a person that's going to come in this season and fix everything. And we've talked about it ad nauseum on the show. Mike, we got the fisticuffs up last night on Twitter. At this point, I mean, it's really the long and short of it is we know he's gone. But now it's time to talk about what Steve Yzerman said. No, stop it. He's not, and look, Pete's right there. It would be wild if they extend him. Could you imagine?
Oh, I thought Pete meant Franz Nielsen because he's a leader in that locker room.
We don't have to worry about that yet. He's good. He's got his gears.
All right.
Look, this is where the press conference comes into play, and we're going to kind of play this quick here because this is where we want the episode to revolve around. Yeah, it's like, all right, the Wings lost again. Ho hum. We know the strategy. We can break
tell us 10 ways they sucked. I'm not convinced they sucked.
But we're asking the question on this episode because, I think we would have made the assessment with the offseason moves that we improved, correct?
Okay, I'm in.
All right. And we also said that if we're making the improvement, we can't just be outright tanking. Like, he wouldn't have improved the team. We would have just stayed at an even keel and not tried to go to that next, you know, or I'm sorry, I said that right. We want to stay at the same level and not try to go to that next step. It's not saying we're Stanley Cup contenders, but we wouldn't have tried to improve with Vladdy Namestnikov. Right?
Yeah.
We would not have done. All right, we take away the idea of forcefully tanking, and we say it's tanking because we're not good enough. So this is where we changed the narrative yesterday or 2 days ago. Steve Yzerman is pretty much open for business, talking about trades openly and guys moving. And now Mark Stahl's name's out there. Thank God Mark Stahl's name's out there. Luke Glendening. I'm making the argument that Jonathan Bernier's out there. Mike, we've seen even Valtteri Filppula's name get thrown out. We saw Sam Gagner's name get thrown out. Of course, Bobby Ryan, we all assumed that he was just coming on to get traded. All those names are getting tossed out, Mike, after that press conference. Again, I'm dubbing that press conference as the "we're open for business" press conference. But one of the keys, I think, besides saying we're open for business, was Steve Eichmann hinting, after being questioned about coaching and development and are we on the right track, Steve brought up production. And it's kind of like he said, look, I know what you're asking, all right? Here's the thing. This is what Steve said. My goals and assists are instinct. You don't teach a guy to score goals. You don't teach him to pass the right direction. It's all instinct. And this is coming from one of the best forwards in the NHL ever, okay? So he's telling us, Scotty Bowman didn't tell me how to score, right? What he did say is that coaching is where you're going to learn to put yourself in better positions. You're going to get the strategy that's going to work with your team. And then that's what these players like Anthony Mantha, Filip Zadina are learning right now, is how to play a tighter game, how to really scrap and, you know, claw a victory out. Okay. These are all things I am gathering from his press conference. We're gathering it from his simple way of putting it. Okay. So there's a lot of liberties I'm taking here. But I'm saying in this press conference, says we're open for business. He subtly, Mike, suggests in this comment that goals and assists would come from instinct. That everyone's on the trade block. We are, in fact, tanking. This season is done. As a subtle nod from Mr. Steve Eichmann and a very passive-aggressive nod that these forwards should be able to score without, no matter who's coaching, and they still aren't. What do y'all think?
A lot to unpack there. This is one of those, when you're playing the video game, you're playing GM mode, you don't want to piss off the players because their overall will drop. You don't want to piss off your coach because then you can't make line changes in the game.
We'll come to that in a second, the production.
So my question, Matt, is are we sure we know what Eichmann, who he's critiquing? Because essentially he's like, I didn't need to get taught instincts. I just knew how to put pucks in nets. So in a way, that's kind of criticizing the players. And he's also saying, if coaching's going to put you in a good spot, and if you've seen our rushes on offense, I don't know if we're putting our guys in great spots to score goals, because no matter who's on that front line, if it's Larkin plus fill in the blank plus fill in the blank, no goals are going in nets. And I don't know if Larkin all of a sudden just doesn't know how to play hockey anymore. So that kind of means to me that the blame is definitely shared amongst the parties there, coaching and player. I don't know if it's more one way or the other. But Matt, is this further proof that we're done with Blashill after this?
I think you and I at least have gone as far to make the right points that Blashill was certainly done. I think the only question now is it actually worth it to do it in the middle of the season, right? Like, is there any point to making that move now, especially with COVID and who knows how long it's going to take to get another system and coach rolling in this? And if we're talking about development, does that mean we're cutting away a month of development in regards to what Steve said himself is putting together more of a defensive strategy or teaching these kids what it takes to claw yourself to victory?
I mean, essentially what the Red Wings are doing right now is their strategy is to not lose 7-2. That's success for this team, right? That's success for this team. You said it yourself, basically every episode, you know, since season two of Red Wings Rant started, just limit chances. And then maybe we'll get lucky, and if we get the chances 50-50, sometimes we'll win because we'll get, you know, the one extra goal. Matt, this is the most toothless power play I've ever seen in my years of watching hockey.
It looks like the Bumble from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stop motion movie, because there's no teeth, there's no bite. We keep the puck in the other team's zone roughly the time it takes to start a stopwatch, and then the puck is already being cleared all the way to the other side. And then you have to stop your stopwatch again. So for that, are we really saying like Bobby Ryan just doesn't know how to score anymore? Larkin suddenly has just forgotten how to score. Mantha's forgotten how to score. I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily just the collective. Everybody's in sync and just, you know, this weird M. Night Shyamalan The Happening where everybody just kind of backs up and forgot how to score. I don't know if I need more pop culture references, but whew, I'm just saying, I think we have the ammunition to at least bring in some coach who'll be like, you know, it'd be great if we tried to score on the power play. Call me a madman, but, you know, maybe, you know. Sustain a little pressure, make somebody sweat a little bit. There's enough ineptitude on the power play to think about it. Because, you know, we've talked another, I want to get your thoughts, but just one last point is.
I know, you asked me like three questions.
I'm going to get to you, Matt. Just, we talked about forming bad habits. And yes. Essentially, if we don't change anything, we're going to go a whole season of being one of the historically worst power play units ever, and we're not learning how to score with the man advantage. It's actually something we dread because it's so bad. All right. Just another reason to move on, potentially early.
Move on from Jeffy?
Potentially.
I'm still in the camp that it's not worth it. I think there's too many holes right now, and I don't know what. Like, what do you put in instead? And what do you do? You're putting in a guy that's going to hang on to the team until the end of the season, or you're just putting in one of these assistant coaches that can't get anything right. I think that would probably be the worst case scenario. I did hear mentioned earlier today too. I thought was a really good point that they thought Jeff was going to be doing a different role when he was relieved of his duties with the Red Wings. So maybe that's why they're not really going to like make a big statement and a big stink and make this look like it's all his fault. And I think that's primarily it, right? Like, we're not seeing anything that would suggest he's going to get an extension, but I don't think there's enough of a team here to say that he's the reason it's failing. And that's where I made the question at the start of actually just the title of this episode. I put as are we officially tanking? And I painted that picture that maybe we were just going to tank, even though we weren't trying to because we improved the team. Like, we're just going to tank because there still wasn't enough talent there. But then this placement of Franz Nielsen on the first line, I think it's like that first sign.
Yeah.
That what this grand scheme is, and after Yzerman said himself, like, oh, Jeff's following my plan, or at least the plan they put together. I don't even know if it's fair to say that I've got a tinfoil cap on at this point, because Franz Nielsen is on our first line in practice, Mike. I think it's officially, I think we're just done, and I think they're going to chalk it up to, well, nobody's putting the puck in the net, so we're just going to try anybody on the first line. No, actually, if you look at the advanced analytics there, Darren Helm didn't have a terrible game. He hasn't had a terrible game the last couple.
I thought he was a positive. Maybe he wasn't quite, you know, doing the stick handling on the offensive end, but he was still, you know, on the forecheck and creating at least a little bit of pressure so that Larkin and Mantha could get open for a play. So his job was not to, you know,
do the dunk.
Yeah.
He's Tyler Bertuzzi with a lot less talent. I will say, though, I did, like, taking a look. Like, I think it was our fourth line that ended up having, like, our best performance from a possession and strength of shots on goal. So from that expected goals viewpoint, they actually had the best game. So I was like, maybe Nielsen just had such a great game. That's why they kicked him up to the first line. But, you know, conspiracy theories, we're full into it right now. And we were into it last season. You know, every time Jimmy Howard got another game, it was kind of like, all right, we've got enough of this, Bergier. Let's get another loss in there. We're getting a little too hot right now. So I'm going to say we're definitely moving past, like, the subtle tank. We're moving past the, no, we improved. We're trying to get better. I think we're moving past that and getting into this zone of we're done. And I think the cherry on top, or when this officially becomes tankathon, is when Bernier's gone. I think that's coming. I think we're all going to be rough days. What was that?
Those are going to be some rough days when Bernier's gone. Because finally went away from his rotation, you know, letting the goalies take turns after Bernier stood on his head with, I think, 38 saves. And then against the Predators, man, he was he's the only reason we were in that game. And then he really got hung out to dry on that power play goal. Oh, my God, where we had a nice diamond going. And then if you watch the play again, you can watch it deteriorate into basically four guys in a line. And they all just got to get out of the way for a wide open one-timer coming out of the circle there. But that was nauseating.
Bernier was supposed to give up, according to the advanced analytics, he's supposed to give up three goals in that game. So he's Grice is in the negative, I think, when it comes to goals allowed versus expected goals allowed. But Bernier's just crushing this thing right now. Like, the way I heard it described earlier this week is just he's proved now two seasons in a row. He knows what to do behind this team's strategy. He's built to play well with the Detroit Red Wings. That being said, I think you could fool some teams and getting a pretty juicy pick coming your way because of how well he's playing. I really thought Bernier was going to be gone last year. And I thought we were going to play that game that I was kind of hoping we'd do with Grice this year. Juice up the trade value coming back to you because there's a couple years left on the contract. But now it's just kind of like, all right, you throw Bernier away because, shoot, I don't know. He's playing well enough, right? Like, you don't even expect him to want to stick around. I think he'd want to try something out next year. Unless it's just like a loyalty game, but I think he'd want to try something.
Yeah, at some point, I want him to, you know, be in the playoffs again. You know, I don't want this to be the end of his hockey career. I'll be a part of this. This definitely feels like the 8 years of rebuilding. It's how rough these lines look. But yeah,
I did want to come back to the production line. He did let us know we sound like two Ken Kells and no Woods. I think from our ad read, I'm hoping. I hope that they're not taking the Paul Woods idea that he's like an encyclopedia for hockey players. And well, there's definitely no Paul Woods here. but he said, should Eichmann take a run at Brad Brindamore? Of course, instilling one of the most impressive puck possession strategies, styles of play that I think we've ever seen. It's almost like from the analytics community, you're either trying to do what Barry Trotz is doing, which is limit the events, so he's got a very similar style to Jeff, or you just try to own the puck the entire game, which is what Rod and his team do. Now, I'll say this: as far as I know, I don't, maybe I don't know the whole story on Rod Brindamore. I don't know his availability come the end of the season, to be honest. I'm assuming if he was available, I don't know if we'd be on the top of his list. But like I said at the beginning of the season, I picked Carolina to win this division because I love the way that they're set up and styled. So if there was a chance to bring over the guy who did it, I'd be all for it. I it's one of those things to me. It's a no-brainer. I'd absolutely do it. I know there's probably some questions on some of the stories that popped up in the off season, but if we're strictly talking like what kind of strategy would I want to see in place for this team, I would absolutely want Rod on this team. And production line throughout there, our prospects could entice him. I think we talked about in the last episode, I was weary of Lucas coming in on the next season. So I think there's there's definitely something here for him to go, okay, I can see Steve Yzerman is bringing in players through free agency. I can see that there's, you know, an identity here of how this team is going to be built in regards to getting draft picks. Let's build through that. We're not going to rely on free agency, but mixing that idea together, if Steve's been able to bring in some guys through free agency, he can definitely bring over the draft picks so he can build through that. I think Rod would see that and say there's definitely something here. I just don't I think my question is if he's available. I think that's where my head's at. Is that, am I missing something from the production line? I would absolutely want him.
I thought he signed, did he not sign a 3-year deal 3 years ago?
So, okay.
So he's either on the cusp of getting, rehired, I believe.
Okay.
But I think that production line brings up a good point, because you're going to get to, as far as like a management spot or a coaching spot, I think as bad as the Red Wings are, I think this is maybe the ideal place in the next year or two to basically have your own sandbox and do whatever the hell you want, because this cap sheet is going to be wide open. You have exciting prospects that nationally and internationally are pretty exciting for people. And then you have the Yzerman factor. As skilled as, you know, Ken Holland was at signing, big name free agents with the big open checkbook and making some pretty good, some trades. We live in a new era, obviously, with the cap. And I think people really like playing for Yzerman, the man. And I don't think that can be understated. Knowing that, you know, if as a coach or a player, you kind of want to, you know, get in somebody's ear, somebody you trust, somebody who's going to, you know, tell you the truth. Almost across the board, I think you're going to be able to kind of mold this team, you know, with his plan. So, being able to kind of fill out that that roster with the players that you want, free agent wise, like you mentioned with the prospects, and then as far as getting the coaching staff together, this is just, a totally like the best possible environment I could think of for somebody on the cusp who wants to build a team. This is a great situation.
So I guess from the perspective of would he want to come to Detroit, the only thing I would caution on, because he's pretty much coming out of the situation then for Carolina where they were building, they were drafting, and now they're a legit second place in the division. And again, I picked them to win the division. I feel really good about Carolina this year. If they don't want him, that's one thing. But does he want to jump into doing the exact same thing? He just, like, he's got the completed product now in Carolina. Does he want to go through this again? Because we'll reference people want to play for Steve Yzerman, the human. But we can't forget that Rod is also human. He's also aging. How many more times, can his morale take this? Can he still come in and be Rod Brendamore, knowing that it's not going to be as successful as it was in Carolina, and it could be even a little bit longer of a journey than it was?
Well, I think Carolina was, I think in Detroit it could be a lot less gradual. I hate throwing this out there, but I think it's true now that Yzerman's back. I mean, you're working with an original six team. You're working with a city that cares about hockey. When the Red Wings travel, I think they still have red jerseys out in the crowd. So I still think that this is a really enticing situation, even for Rod leaving a successful team to come here because it's the Red Wings. And I would not say that if it was still Holland. I will say because it's Steve. He's literally, we all have red blood, once it gets oxygenized. Red Wing Red Wing blood, man. That Red Wing red. That's what's coming out of Steve. I really think that cannot be, it can't be said enough. It's such a drawing point.
Well, I hope that answers the question. I think to sum up, and the whole time I was talking to, I kept trying to find, I'm glad you found that information on Rod's contract, but sum up, I think if it was up to me, I mean, that is a name that is one of the most exciting coaching names in hockey, because that, I mean, that if I try to figure out why am I such a huge fan of Carolina and have been, it's because of the way that their strategy is just to rag the puck, and I love it. And I think it calls back to when the Red Wings were so successful, and how, like, I mean, the Corsi score was invented because people wanted to see why the Red Wings were so successful. And then you saw, oh, they just own the puck for 60 minutes. So that would be us trying to wind the clock back. So I think ultimately, yeah, if it was up to me, I'd want Rod. And I think the only sticking point right now is, does he want to do what he just completed in Carolina? Does Carolina want him back? And it probably depends on the success they have right at the end of the season, or if some of the conversations again that happened because of his relationship with Minnesota, if any of that comes into play with him sticking around.
This is the Dallas Cowboys. This is the Los Angeles Lakers. This is the Detroit Red Wings. I think if Rod hasn't re-signed here shortly, I think that it's definitely in play. I think that's a pretty exciting prospect to bring him aboard. And I think Iserman's going to have his pick of the litter, Matt. It's going to be an exciting summer, but unfortunately, we still got to wait a few months and play these games and wait for this season to end. As long as it's going to feel, it's going to feel longer. But I think after this, it's going to start coming together. So,
well, with that, we do have a conversation with Hungry for Hawks Talk. So we're going to be, it's kind of, I don't know, it was a weird conversation to have because we're pivoting where this episode was at least talking about the Red Wings on a whole. We go deeper into Red Wings versus Blackhawks, and as we know, we're 0-4 so far. This is Grant from Hungry for Hawks Talk coming on board. We actually just finished before we started recording here. So I want you guys to sit back and relax. This is a long one, so you get to know the Hawks a little bit better on what's been happening when they're not destroying us. And we give our picks at the end, and I'll just say, I'm not feeling quite as high as I was at the start of the season. We actually referenced that at the start of the conversation here, where I actually picked us our last time we talked for us to go 2-0 in those first two games against the Blackhawks. So we touch on that so much more. So everybody sit back, relax. This is previously recorded, so unfortunately no more questions. So keep it to yourself. Production Life, thank you for tuning in. We're glad to have you. And fantastic Twitter handle and name, by the way. We know what a huge Red Wings fan you are. He's out. We're going to talk about it. All right. See you later. Thanks for coming in. All right. Mike, also, you know what? We have a quick ad we got to run. Whoopsies.
All right, we'll get that ad out there.
Where's that darn ad? All right, everybody, check out Sens Hours promo. This is too bad Production Line's going to miss this, because you don't want to miss the Ottawa Senators podcast, the team who are fighting for dead last. Sorry, guys, just had to rib somebody because we can't rib anybody else. Check this out, guys.
It's going to be really interesting. Like, I like Pinto, and I remember everyone, like, and this is the thing that I think Sens fans need to start realizing. We need to stop looking at the draft. We really need to stop looking at a player being like, he was drafted way too early. You know who you can make an argument who was drafted way too late? Mark Stone. Sixth round pick, and now he's making $9.5 million. Pajot, drafted, I think, in the fifth round and making $5 million. Hoffman.
Welcome to the Sens Hour podcast, your number one source for Sens content, part of the Hockey Podcast Network, hosted by Shane from Ottawa and
Derek from Muskoka, almost near Leaf Country out here.
But I think Clevin was right up there because they traded up to get him with the Leafs. And again, they passed up some talented players for a guy like Clevin. But now Clevin's all of a sudden looking like a talented player himself. Like that goal that he scored in the third game in UND was outrageous. It was just not something you're expecting from the Twitter scouts, especially.
Sens Hour Podcast, your number one stop for all your Senators content. New episodes coming at you every Monday and Thursday, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Have a good one. Stay safe.
Take care.
I like that one little extra bump. All right. Thanks for everybody that hung around for that. That was the Sense Hour podcast. That was a tenth of an episode right there. All right. Let's roll.
It's like two of our episodes. My God. All right.
So. All right, everybody. Enjoy this interview. And we're going to send off the episode with this interview. So see you later.
Go away!
Psycho. Hey everybody, it's Matt from Red Wings Rant. Of course, let me recap here because I'm probably going to be attaching this to the end of an episode I just recorded, so you guys all know what's going on here. But I guess, yeah, for anybody that's listening to Hungry for Hawks Talk podcast, that's who I am. So if you guys want to jump on board with the old Lake Michigan rivalry, kind of, even though we're on the other side of Michigan. yeah, come on board to Red Wings Rant to see what's going on. And of course, today for all the Red Wings Rant listeners, we have just like a couple of weeks ago, we have Grant from I just said it, Hungry for Hawks Talk podcast. Grant, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can you tell that my notes are scattered and all over the place just by this intro?
Yeah, it's all good, man. We're doing it live. It's improv. We're going for it.
I'm looking at my face right now. So for personal reasons, I had to shave.
You had like a survival Bear Grylls beard going on last time we talked.
It was definitely, I don't have to leave the house. So what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And now my brother and I, we actually both have a reason to leave the house. I don't want to get into that. But man, I'm looking at, I guess I haven't seen my face without facial hair. On this camera, it looks awful. Oh my God, I'm not excited to record.
You look fine.
I look like such a baby. Grant, I digress. Let's get into this hockey talk here. Last time we talked, so we were four games into the season, right? Red Wings were 2-2. Blackhawks, I think you guys were 0-4, maybe 0-3-1 or something like that at that point.
Yeah, we started off 0-4.
Okay.
Yeah.
It definitely took a turn, I would say, where my hype level was at 2-2. And where you were at with 0-4. Think this conversation it would be interesting to actually listen to these back to back, because I went as far as to say, and you agreed with me, that we were gonna take both games that weekend against the Blackhawks, and man, oh man, did it not go that. I mean, oh my gosh, it's been four games now of I'm fine saying it, complete domination by Chicago over Detroit.
Yeah,
how does it feel from your perspective?
I mean, it feels good. It feels good in that, you know, I can't. It feels good to win, because it's always, you know, winning is always fun. You can see it in the play. You can see it in the players. Like, they're having fun out there, which is something that, you know, we did not have last year. You know, there was no kind of, I mean, other than in the playoffs, like in the expanded playoffs when we actually snuck in there by technicality.
There's other reasons that, you know, Red Wings fans think that you guys got in there. They were checking the docket and seeing how far down were the Blackhawks. All right, this is where we can draw the line here.
Yeah, we can make 500 a thing. You know, it's we're not at the basketball level where like a 473 winning percentage is is a playoff team. It's fun to watch these guys play. So it's good in that sense. It's bad in the sense that I can't get power down for Owen going anymore. Like you said, last time we talked, I even went so far to say that, that we would end up below the Detroit Red Wings this year. Simply because I figured, you know, you guys had some pretty good offseason additions. I thought Thomas Greiss would be a decent goaltender moving forward. Bobby Ryan was doing his thing there, and but nope. That has not happened like that. Eh?
Well, what's funny too, I think the most chirping that we got, it was positive for us and negative for you guys, was from the Nashville Predators, who, I mean, you know, they took care of us pretty handily. I mean, it's definitely from an advanced analytics perspective in the last game. But, I mean, yeah, you guys are standing pretty tall over those Predators right now, too. So they kind of definitely took a tumble. That was really where I started to take, like, a harder look. Because I think at the beginning of the season, we all kind of knew with the injuries that it was going to be a struggle for Chicago. Yeah. It's just those first four games were such an eye-opener. And I think, if anything, you know, getting that chance to you know, have your way with the Red Wings. Like I don't know if you want to say like, you know, open the floodgates or it was just that opportunity for them to like build some chemistry, you know, let's build up morale, because that, those two games, man, they weren't fun for me to watch, but you could see on the Chicago bench, like that was fun. That was something I think to them where they were like, Holy crap. Look at this. Look at what we're doing, huh? We're like a real hockey team.
Yeah.
It might have been good timing. It might have been one of those things where I like to think that all sports fans at some point have watched Major League. I don't know if you're a fan of the film, baseball movie, Charlie Sheen. No.
I haven't actually seen that one, no.
Good one. It's about Cleveland Indians that are struggling at the time, and they were like well known when this film came out as like a team that's just never going to win a championship. Right. So they tell this story about Cleveland just is going to tank on purpose and then move down to Florida, and you got to see kind of like those first four games from the Blackhawks, and then they caught like a sniff of like what upper management was trying to do, and they just flipped it, you know. Everybody became buddies. They got to know each other. It's you know, it's a classic sports comedy. I like to think. Highly recommend it for anybody that hasn't had a chance to check it out. Definitely was an opportunity for Wesley Snipes and Charlie Sheen to let the world see what they can do. But besides that, I think right now it's that story of what the Chicago Blackhawks did, because they just needed, instead of banding together against upper management, I think they just banded together just by destroying us. They said, "Hey, I think we can do this. I did want to throw this out, and then I want to toss it back over to you on what you think that game really did for you guys. But is it pious or pious? Because Mike Tirico is what threw the wrench in for me on the last time the Red Wings and the Blackhawks played.
Right.
How do you pronounce that first name for Suter?
I think I've heard it from our guys, and also, I mean, from Eddie Olczyk and the other guys and stuff. And I'm pretty sure it's Puse Suter.
Oh my gosh! So Puse both of the ones Suter that I had in mind were wrong. All right. So yeah. Thanks a lot, Mike Tirico.
But like, Puse, yeah, you read it and it's pious, right? Right. I'm guilty of saying pious as well, but I think it's just Puse.
That'll be easy to remember, because I won't be mixing up Pius and Mike. Yeah. Mike Tirico's I think beloved here in Detroit, because that's where he's from. But yeah, he's heard us before with this garbage. All right.
Yeah.
I guess that's where we can move the conversation is how you feel I from that Major League complete. I guess I didn't need to go too deep into that movie, but yeah, like what you see on those parallels of how
the movie you haven't seen. I also wouldn't be surprised if that's exactly what happened in the locker room, you know? I honestly would not be. I mean, yeah. I don't think the relationship between the players and upper management is all that great, especially with Stan Bowman at the helm. You know, it's been pretty well documented that he doesn't care what the players think, which is something that can, you know, rub players the wrong way, especially the guys that have been there for decades and have won you championships. Right. I think their voices deserve to be heard. So, you know, going into this season, we had everything stacked against us, right? We walked away from a franchise goaltender who ended up retiring. Our captain was injured. He's still injured. He's still out. We don't know when he's coming back or if he's coming back. Kirby Dach, our rookie sensation from last year, who took a big step forward going into the playoffs last year, was out after one shift in the World Junior Championships, which to this day, I still think that was the right decision for him to go. All the people who say, oh, you know, it's just a silly tournament. Who cares? It does matter because he's a Canadian boy. It matters for Canadians. So that's it. Like, it doesn't matter what you think of the tournament. It matters to him. It matters to Kirby Dach. It matters to his family, to his friends. So I don't think anybody can say anything about that.
There's a lot of recency bias mixed in there, because if he comes out of that tournament with like an MVP award, nobody's batting an eye.
Precisely. And it's like everything would have, like, the benefits of that happening far outweigh, you know, any negative things that are going to happen. And, you know, he's still 19. He's only 19 years old. Yes, he loses a year of development, but it's not like he's stalling, right? Like, he already has that NHL experience. He's been around with the guys. He was with us the whole year. He knows what it takes to succeed in this game. So I'm not worried about Kirby Dach at all. I still think it was the right decision to send him to the World Junior Championships. But yeah, everything was stacked against us. We had all these new guys come in, all these new guys that were hungry, waiting for their opportunity to jump into the lineup and show that they belong in the NHL, got their opportunity, and now they've started to roll with it. We would not be in this spot without Kevin Lankinen too. I mean, Kevin Lankinen has really stepped up and really played, stood on his head for a lot of the games, because, you know, our defense is still pretty suspect. Like, you saw it in our most recent game against Columbus Blue Jackets, where, you know, it was a shootout. It was a shootout gallery. You know, a lot of our defensive play and miscues are still there. But the effort is better this season, which is something that was not present last year. And you are starting to see Kevin Lankinen start to make some mistakes. You know, he is still a rookie, so mistakes happen. You know, we have some young guys on the back end, Ian Mitchell, Boakvist, they're still making mistakes. But the majority of the play this year has been a complete 180 from how we've been playing last year. Guys are back checking more. And I think I wouldn't be surprised, going back to my point at the beginning, that if, you know, the veterans were kind of like, you know what, like, we're not done. We're not done. We are saying that we're going into a rebuild, but with the likes of Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane, we can still win. And they're showing that today and this season so far.
Yeah, I think one of the things with Lankinen too is he's diversified his portfolio a little bit here, where at the start, when he had those hot games against the Wings, I think you could probably look at that and just go, you know what, the Wings are going to play low event. They're not going to score a goal, so ho-hum. But when you take a look at the game log, and I'm guilty, everybody that's listening, I'm pulling it up just now for the first time. But, I mean, sure, Detroit's the shutout, but you've got Nashville, Dallas, Columbus, Carolina, all mixed in there with above 930 save percentage games. And the shots are there. I think, as you know, Grant, you're watching every game, so you know the shot totals are going to be up in those Chicago Blackhawks games. At least that's what I can look at right here with Lankinen. I'm tiptoeing here. I think it's pretty obvious. it's legit a great start to his career. Yeah. I think we could say that. Yeah. He is scaring the crap out of me though, that it has been just, for a lack of a better term, and using it for the second time on this episode. But I mean, domination between him and what he's seeing when the wing wheel's coming down at him. But it is something, at least for Red Wings fans, that and the reason I mentioned that is that this isn't one of those things that he's just getting those numbers up against us. Because that was one of the things I've seen bantied about online. And it's like, so what? He's not that great. It's just against us. But, I mean, for all intents and purposes, I mean, this guy, you could make the argument. I know the heart conversation is starting for Patty Kane, and I did want to get into that. But for what Lankinen is going to have to do to be successful here, and if Patrick Kane is just, you know, he's being Patrick Kane, right? I mean, that's you see what he's doing right now. It's just, okay, he's scoring like Patrick Kane has been scoring his entire career.
Yeah.
If Lankinen comes in and finds the success and continues it for the rest of the season, maybe he gets that save percentage up a couple more points. I don't know. This guy could be wearing some hardware. He should be in the conversation if this team is in the playoff conversation come the end of the year. Yeah. Even if they're just in the conversation, I think that is that big of a difference. And he does look, like you put it, he's standing on his head. It does look that crazy every game. Like, it does look like this guy is doing everybody's kung fu fighting with the the old music video. And I mean, the guy is just moving all over the ice. We come back to the shot attempts is, it's got to be scary. I know for Red Wings goaltenders, they get to come in and know that it might be a nice, easy night besides the last game for the Red Wings. I guess I know you want to be cautious as somebody that is, you're hosting a Blackhawks podcast, you're watching the games. You don't want to be the one that's going to sit there and say, this guy's grabbing hardware. But yeah. I mean, if I'm completely honest, and I've been watching hockey for like 20 years now, this is the kind of thing, it's a great story, but it's one of those things that you almost want to make sure that you are starting to campaign for the hardware, because this could be a one and done. We've seen, you know, the likes of like Jordan Binnington, despite, you know, much longer road to the NHL. Yes. We've seen that completely fall off. So this is one of those things where I hate the Blackhawks, but with how that guy's playing, I just don't know. Like, it's almost like you got to do the job, right? As us hosting and me trying to be less of a Blackhawks hater, I'm fine saying it. I mean, that guy, he's the one that is that difference maker that should be the big story at the end of the year, should all of this continue to move in the same direction. But, I know from your perspective, you probably want to be more cautious. But, yeah, I mean, from my viewpoint, I'm sitting on the couch, but I see a guy that should at least be in that conversation because of what he's got in front of him.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, especially when you got Mr. Pylon Nikita Zadorov over there just standing in front of you doing nothing for you. Except, like, yeah, it's just my co-host and I have a thing about Nikita Zadorov. He has a bigger thing for him as well. But you know, I don't know if he's going to win the Hart Trophy. He definitely should be in the conversation with you. Like you said, I agree with you there. But
yeah, the Hart Trophy only Patty Kane. I don't want to.
Yeah.
You really got to blow socks off, right? For a goaltender to get a Hart Trophy nod. So
but Calder,
I agree with you there.
Calder, maybe. The Calder Trophy might be something that's attainable for Kevin Lankinen if he continues to play the way he's playing. And he has started to, you know, he's at the beginning of the season, we couldn't really find any fault in his game. You know, he was still getting figured out. He was making all the saves that he was supposed to. He was, you know, just phenomenal for throughout the first, I'd say 10-ish or so games. But then we start seeing him, you know, we're starting to his stamina is going to be an issue. Well, not an issue, but something to monitor, because he obviously hasn't played against this high of skill of competition before. And we're basically playing him every other night because he's the only viable option at goaltender that we have in order to win games. So we may be seeing him starting to tire a little bit. He's starting to let in goals that, you know, maybe he should have. His rebound control is, has been a bit of an issue in that, you know, he kind of has a hesitancy. Like I mentioned this a couple episodes ago on my podcast. He seems to have a hesitancy of holding the puck, you know, and not, you know, waiting for the whistle. He kind of just wants, you know, the team to go. And in certain points, yes, that's very good to do. But, you know, at the same time, if your team's been hemmed in your own zone for over a minute, or at least for 30 seconds, even you want to hold on to that puck and let your boys get some rest, get a line change and try to win that faceoff, right? Like it's a few little things that he's going to learn, obviously, because he's still a rookie. But yeah, so Hart Trophy might be a little difficult.
Oh, yeah.
But Calder, I think, is something that's very attainable. And I mean, the Blackhawks have honestly the pick of the litter when it comes to the Calder Trophy. We have so many. We must have the most rookies playing on a team in the league so far. I mean, you know, you got Pius Suter, you got Philip Kurashev, who's having a phenomenal season. Like, this is the thing. It hasn't just been Patrick Kane and Kevin Lankinen. Everything has been breaking right for the Blackhawks this season, despite all of the odds that were stacked against us, like I mentioned earlier, right? Seabrook didn't come back at the beginning of the season like we thought he would. He ended up sustaining an injury in training camp. Andrew Shaw has now since gone down with another concussion. He is out indefinitely, which is very, very unfortunate. Again, we mentioned the captain. We mentioned Kirby Dach. So we're having all these guys step in. Alex DeBrincat has found his confidence as well. He's finally become the winger that Patrick Kane has long missed since Artemi Panarin left. Well, not left, since we traded him. So, you know, all these things have really been the reason that the Chicago Blackhawks are where they are. Everybody's been kind of playing above their projected, I guess, skill level. So It's just been, it's been fun to watch, right? I mean, at the beginning of the season, we're 0-3-1 against the Florida teams. And I thought, oh, you know what? Yeah, this is what we expected. We knew this was going to happen. Look at all these things that are against us. And, you know, we found the answer in net. We found the answer in up front in our top nine, I would say, forward group. Everything seems balanced right now, despite not having Kirby Dach and Jonathan Toews in the lineup. And our defense has been holding up.
And I'll throw out there, I mean, I'm still, like I said, you got to get that save percentage up. But I definitely think if he can get that a little bit higher, then probably the Vezina is probably where my head's at. But I wanted to throw out, though, is, I mean, your guy's PDO right now is at 98.9. So there is that suggestion. I know we're not that threshold of being over 103 or below 97. So everybody kind of in that between 97 and 103, you're kind of in that realm of like, okay, they're playing where they should be playing. But there's still wiggle room for this team to be like a smidge better, right? Right up to 100 PDO. So the league average for shot is probably where you guys are at 9.9. And I think I was just looking it up. I think it's like 9.7. So that's going to stay the same. Like, so the difference here, and this is where that argument still sticks, I think Calder's extremely like that. That's the most believable one for Lankinen. But if they, considering how far they could fall to being league average in goaltending, and I think they're at 9.13 right now, and league average is around like 9.03 or something like that. So they're falling like 10 percentage points. That's, again, I'm just throwing another dart in the old best of candidacy. I'm higher on this guy probably because I'm not as close, but yeah, he's set. You could be pretty happy. Now, hey, we got to tell some Red Wings stories here because, you know, Chicago, you guys are fine. I will throw out there too. I did want to ask, like, it's one of the things that popped in my head probably a couple weeks ago, but now it seems like less of an issue. But, you know, Chicago, Detroit, and I think Ottawa, like, it's funny. We've all played our games. But going back to like the Discover Central, sticking with that, I think it is funny that Detroit and Ottawa is the one, those are the two teams that the league is like, no, get them out there. I don't care how many COVID guys they have. Just get Detroit and Ottawa's season done. But Chicago is one of the other teams that have also played. I'm just guessing because you're at 20, right? There hasn't been a single game rescheduled yet.
There There hadn't been up until Saturday. They decided to, so I did talk about this last week. They decided to, we were supposed to have a back-to-back against Carolina in Carolina on Friday and Saturday. We played the game on Friday, and then they postponed the one on Saturday so that Carolina could play Tampa.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All so right. The reasoning behind that was because we had already played so many games, and throughout the season, we only had like more than 2 days off twice since the beginning of the season. So I guess the league just decided, look, Chicago's played X amount of games. Let's just give them the 3 days off, and then they have those 3 days and they can go to Columbus or whatever, do whatever they do, and then they'll play on Tuesday after playing on Friday, and then we'll just get Tampa rolling, I guess, after they got postponed. So
here, my conspiracy with all that, by the way, is just I think the league just wants to erase the conversation when it comes to you've got the North Division and then the Central. If any team's like, you know what, I didn't get my 8 games against Detroit this year, so put in my extra 4 points before we calculate the points percentage. But I'm deadly serious. I think there's something to that. So where they can just go, you know what, everybody got their Detroit games. All right, so be quiet over there. And I'm allowed to make those jokes. All right, but what I was going to say was a couple weeks ago, this is how far I can digress from where my points were going. You guys had so many more games than what was going on in the Central, along with Detroit. It did kind of feel like eventually everybody was going to catch up. But now when you look at the standings, sure, Chicago's goal differential is zero right now. But, I mean, your competition is Columbus, who's also played 20 games. But you could easily point to their negative 10 goal differential, and of course you've got 3 points on them as well. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like right now does it still feel like it could shatter at any moment? I mean, besides the fact that you have 2 games against us coming up this weekend, so you've got to feel pretty good about that. But does it feel like are you nervous? Are you waiting for it to just break at any point?
I mean, honestly. No, I don't. I mean, we've been playing pretty sustainable hockey. I mean, we're still winning despite all of the gaffes that we're making in our defensive end. Like, there are times where we are swimming, like literally swimming on ice in our own defensive zone. There is no reason the puck can't be out of our zone, or like, I don't know how we keep it out of the net, but we somehow do. A lot of the times we don't, right? Because it's just, that's the way it is. Yep. Especially when Zadorov is on the ice. but
yeah, there's definitely a...
despite all that.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
despite all that, we're still where we are. And I mean, if we fall, I don't know. I don't see it happening. I mean, Tampa Bay has been, I expect Tampa to be tops. They've only played 16 games. They'll get up there. Columbus has been kind of tough. Like it looks like they're still trying to figure out, you know, their team chemistry. And obviously we know the type of talent Line A is, but so far in the games that we've played against Columbus, we've had their number. I mean, I believe we're winning the season series so far against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And every game that we've played against them, they've been close. They've been a lot of barn burners, a lot of shootouts in terms of like back and forth chances. But
right,
you know, we've come out ahead. So I don't think. I mean, there's also
probably,
Dallas.
That's yeah, true. I was gonna say there's we're forgetting Dallas because they've played only 13 games.
Yeah, but they've lost all. They've lost their past 5 games.
Yeah, I'm looking at that points percentage and going.
Yeah.
How? Hanging on like that. Good gravy.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, with Dallas there, I think that's probably, that's me far overlooking probably the closer of any real threat, and especially with the points percentage. So let's say they, you know, what a point percentage is going to mean to them if they can get on a win streak. And I think right now, we're probably in that realm where not everybody's going to finish a season. So each one of those wins, each one of those points that they get is going to make, it's actually going to have more value, I guess, in my opinion, with less games played. If they get, you know, depending on who they have left. And I know they've only played us a couple of times. So when you compare, you know, I know it's still four games. We're comparing six games to four games in regards to what Dallas has. And I'm sitting, this is ridiculous for anybody listening. They're right now doing the math going, wait, he's just considering every game against Detroit as a loss. Look, that's what happens. All right. I've been burned so many times in the last couple of weeks. Get a win. And then I go ahead on to DraftKings, which, by the way, use promo code THPN when you're signing up with DraftKings to unlock exclusive offers.
Yes.
Go on to DraftKings. I'm like, you know what? Wings are looking pretty hot. They've got the Panthers number. Light it up. Give me the money line on this, and I try to build some parlay because I think we're gonna really make out. And it hurts me financially and mentally at this point. So yeah, I am gonna go ahead and say every game going forward is lost. but yeah, I guess the best way to wrap that up is.
Detroit's what he's saying, listeners, is to bet against the Detroit Red Wings in every game Absolutely. That they play, and maybe you won't hurt as much in the wallet as Matt.
God, we've even done so for anybody that is interested, if you are just an NHL fan, we do our bodpodcast.com/Red Wings Rant. We do our blogs. We just did our first pregame video, so not part of the podcast or the vodcast, just us doing a pregame video and throwing in our predictions, and our whole group. We all picked Detroit in the last game against Nashville. It just, the only question that was thrown out was who was in net. And not for one second did we go, oh, did we make six or seven trades for different forwards? No? Oh, okay. Like we summed it up to Bernier being in net because he has been fantastic, but there were no questions about, how long has Mantha been on a goalless streak? And what is it, 1 point and how many six? Games. I mean, it's for Detroit, it is ugly, and this is where we transition into what's going on and what we thought this conversation was going to be about all season. I even thought we had some hope going into the third and fourth game against Chicago that we were going to I really said, you know what, we're going to give it back to them. That was what we said on the podcast. Look out, guys. We're getting healthier. We're going to come back. We're going to steal a couple of wins. And, one of the things I think is ignored a lot or kind of thrown to the side, even by Red Wings fans, is how hard we actually were hit by COVID. Even our GM, Steve Yzerman, threw out in his press conference yesterday, how surprised he was that the league didn't shut the Wings down. And again, going back to my conspiracy that they want to make sure all those Wings games get out of the way. But yeah, I mean, we've had our top six forwards out of the lineup, and something that before the season started, you know, my brother and I, in our episodes for the preview, we said teams will get shut down when their top six forwards are out because that's bad for PR. But no, it didn't happen for the Red Wings. We just had to persevere. We had to go into Chicago shorthanded. We went about 3 weeks shorthanded. I mean, even now when we go into this weekend series, we have our one of our top six forwards, Tyler Bertuzzi, for the Chicago Blackhawks fans that don't know the entire roster off the top of your head. I mean, this is a guy that for us is really the key to start the engine for our power play. And I'm basing a lot of that on statistics, considering we are now 0-for-38, I think, on the power play. Yes. 38 chances in a row. Maybe we hit 40. and he's the only one that's actually putting up points and goals. So since he's been out, it's been even worse. But we do lack talent. And if we had a full roster, yeah, we're still going to struggle. We're not finishing above 500. But those were the first two games where we really got hit was the first two games in Chicago. And we never really got our head back above water. Now this is the Detroit Red Wings side where it's like, you know, we're competing in games right now, but we could really be competing. Are we going to win them? I don't know. It's still the same. Like, it's still Dylan Larkin and Anthony Mantha who aren't scoring. So can I really say that with them playing on the same line that all of a sudden they're going to start scoring? If Bertuzzi's in there, maybe a couple of extra points here or there. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that this season is a struggle, but it has been a little bit worse than people are giving it credit to in regards to our bad luck. I mean, especially if you're going 0-for-40 on the power play.
Yeah.
That is beyond what a graph is even going to show when our, you know, top hockey analysts are putting whatever their favorite graph is together to analyze everybody's special teams. I mean, we're breaking barriers that would be on that. We're forcing the top NHL analysts to actually spread the range of whatever they're measuring in regards to power play with how bad we are. And that's again, I think it can be attested quite a bit to that lack of talent. But I think when this season's all wrapped up, I think we'll still be coming back to, and part of it is PR, part of it's a please buy season tickets next year. We were this close. But there's a massive element of truth in regards to losing some of the guys that we've lost and saying that the season's been bad, but I think we could have fought back a little bit better had COVID not gotten in the way. Had we had games canceled, like almost every other team in the league has had games canceled. So with that, I guess the way to transition it is the last word, and this is the forward we as Wings fans think is the difference maker. The last word on Tyler Bertuzzi is from our head coach, Jeff Blashill, saying we have no idea when he's coming back. Here's the thing. We're probably going to talk about it in our show. It means a great deal for you Chicago Blackhawks fans that are crossing your fingers for another 2 wins. I will say there's an element to that. And I guess what's funny is you've probably already heard this conversation if you're listening to Red Wings Rant, because this will be following that conversation. But I think the best thing going for the Chicago Blackhawks, for any team in the Central right now, is the decision-making on the rosters, hearing that Tyler Bertuzzi really has no timetable for return, because I think we've officially given up. I think what we're going to see is piling on. I think we're going to see the team start to fade away. They've been fighting really hard. And especially with a team that can't even cross the blue line on the power play. That's our biggest struggle is just entries on the power play, which is insane to me. When you have that, you have an advantage and to really struggle like that. But we'll touch on this too on the show, but it was one of our worst forwards. He's been listed as the lowest value return of any forward in the league is Franz Nielsen. By people much smarter than me, Dom Lishizin from The Athletic always has him on his ratings of comparing the amount you're spending on a forward, what you're getting back production-wise. Here's how you sum up this tank is happening and how good and the gravy that'll the gravy train coming through on Chicago. Nielsen was placed on our first line in practice today. So while we're recording this, to sum that all up, I think it's official. It does hurt that we don't have Tyler Bertuzzi. I think there's an element to it of losing Tyler and saying we probably could have snuck in a couple extra wins here and it wouldn't look as hideous to look at the standings. I think long story short, when we're taking a look at who's going to win this weekend, I think the tank is officially on with that roster decision. So
yeah.
I know Franz Nielsen, he definitely had a bigger name in the NHL when he was with the Islanders.
Yep.
And I mean, probably getting those bonus points from Tavares, but
yeah.
You know, it is one of those things that he fell and he fell hard. And a guy that he was actually went through waivers less than a week ago is now on your first line. I really do think this is that sign. You could draw so many lines. Steve Yzerman just had the press conference with the media, which pretty much said we're open for business for trades, right? That's a huge sign that your team is done and you're tanking. But I think this decision is really where it puts it, you know, past whatever you want to say is going behind the curtains when you're doing press conferences, whatever the GM's doing, and the difference between that and what's on the ice, because now what's on the ice is one of our worst forwards on the first line. And I don't know what you want to do with that, Grant, but I think that's the best way to sum up. I'm going to be putting money anywhere else besides Detroit for the rest of the season. that was a long monologue. That was a tough one. I didn't have a clear direction when I started, but I think we can all see how close we are as Red Wings fans to being depressed, or if we're not there yet, how close we all are, or how deep some of us might be. But that's the long and short of it. And Grant, I'm so glad you're laughing, because I bet this sounds awful right now. I think we're going to be getting emails and messages, DMs checking in on us now.
Are you okay, Matt?
Yeah, right.
Are you okay?
Yeah, look at this smile. Don't look at the tears that are streaming down my cheeks right now. Look at this smile. It's probably a healthy bet that if you're listening to this portion right now, Matt probably cut down about half that monologue. Grant, I don't want to put any work on you, any undue pressure to edit that down, but holy crap, was that depressing. But yeah, after 10 minutes of tirade there, we are Red Wings Rant after all.
Yes.
How good does it feel to know you've got a tanking team coming in?
I mean, I'll take the two wins. I'll take the two Ws.
It's so hard to dissect, because it's just kind of like, yeah, we did make decisions to make it a tank.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, because like, you don't want to be making excuses for your team, right? That's right. One of the biggest things. And I mean, if I can say, we were hit with COVID as well, the Blackhawks were, and we did lose some pretty significant pieces. We lost DeBrincat, we lost Wallmark, we lost Boakfist, we lost, I think Carpenter was out for a little while as well. But we lost quite a few of our offensive firepower. Patrick Kane was still in there, so we were fine. But, you know, the fact that we were still able to win games, again, I'm not trying to, you know, as much fun as it is, I'm not trying to put more salt on the wound, but you know, it's hard, because you really, really need to have that kind of to have that locker room mentality. And I think that's where Detroit struggles, is that they don't have that oomph to win. They don't have the desire or the will to just be like, you know what? I don't care that we're shorthanded today. We're going to give it our all and play our best. And that's all we can really do. And I think that has kind of permeated the locker room in the Chicago Blackhawks organization. A lot of it has to do with, obviously, our leadership and Patrick Kane, who, you know, I think since becoming a father this past summer has really matured. And, you know, now that I think he's accepted that, you know, he needs to take on more of a mentorship role with our younger guys, he's really excelled in that. Duncan Keith obviously continues to play the way he's playing. In fact, Duncan Keith was starting to get a little annoyed with all the people asking him, oh, like, how's Boakfist or Ian Mitchell coming along? How are you enjoying, like, you know, being a mentor and all these things? And he's like, they're grown ass kids. Like they're grown ass men. Like, basically he was like, I don't need to wipe their ass. Like they play right. The way they play. I give them pointers. That's it. They take it or they leave it and they just play. Like that already shows you the expectation in that locker room. I don't care if you're a rookie. I don't care that you've only played 13, 20 NHL games. You're in this locker room to win. And that's what is expected of you each and every single day. If your number calls comes up and the opportunity comes up, then you play. And everybody has really, really bought into that. I mean, you watch the guys play, Brandon Hagel, you know, Philip Kurashev. You watch all these rookies come in and step into the lineup seamlessly. They haven't had any hiccups or anything like that to begin the season. On defense, it's been a little bit, you know, like Ian Mitchell has made a few mistakes, as I mentioned. Boakvist is still learning. Zadorov has been a train wreck. But
yeah, I'm learning that.
So you might get some goals from Zadorov, courtesy of Zadorov. So you know, you should maybe, if you have like an individual bet for amount of goals against because of one player, maybe take it on Zadorov. But yeah, I mean, it's I think that's where, you know, Stevie Yzerman knows how to win. And I think once he translates that, once he shows the guys in that locker room what it takes to be a winning franchise, I think, you know, you guys will be on your way. You just need a few guys to step into the room who, you know, kind of can go about their business and show the kids, you know, who to, like, how to play, essentially. Yeah,
I think one of the best things he said this week, and I mean this works for Chicago as well, works for everybody. This wasn't a statement about his team, but it was a statement about hockey. And it's something for Red Wings fans that I really hope they take to heart. And it's goals and assists and making those plays. What he said, that's instinct. He said that's how you made it to this league. You're not coaching guys. You're not developing guys to learn how to score goals and make assists. So to that, I mean, the whole point he brought that up actually is because of the struggles and where he wants to see the team focusing, from a development standpoint is how to play tighter, how to play a better defensive game, and what to do when you're winning those battles on the boards, and, you know, the types of things of like when to pinch, like that's where you're building on hockey smarts, you know, making those decisions. I think that's where Steve Yzerman wants this team to move to. But to your point and needing those guys in the locker room, I think Steve was almost making a comment that this team's not just missing like that gumption, that last push to win. I think he was making a comment that they just don't have the goal scoring. They don't have these. And I'm not really breaking any, you know, I'm not like knocking the wall down here and everybody's going, oh, wow, yeah, that's probably right. They don't have any talent. I just think it's huge that a GM, and this is me making a lot of connections. I'm taking maybe too big of a step to make the connection, but I'm pretty sure that's where he's coming from. I think he's speaking to the fan base. He's speaking to the media. And partially when I said he was saying they were open for business for trade talks, that's where this conversation came from. But he's pretty much saying like, look, we don't have it right now. We're not going to win. And again, that's why we're open for business. That's why anybody, you can come in, trade, just send us draft picks. But even the guys that we're really high on, even a guy like Mantha, who just got a 4-year deal and not a super high contract for a top line winger at $5 million a year. You know, you don't see that number and shake or anything like that compared to, yeah, you know, what Chicago's got going on. But it's still, it puts them top three guys getting paid on this team. And Yzerman's pretty much saying like, look, if these guys were going to be scoring goals and getting assists, it would have already happened. Like it's not something that we're hoping Jeff Blashill is going to do something coaching wise. Then all of a sudden it's going to click. All of a sudden these guys are elite talent. And I to your point of, you know, keeping these guys butts clean. I think to that end, all that poo poo is just the goals and assists. Like that's where these kids got to this league because they had that talent. Not everybody has elite talent. They're definitely more talented than you and I. Well, actually, you know, Grant, I won't speak for you. They're definitely more talented than me.
You can say that, yeah.
So it's all about fitting in a scheme and making that work eventually. And a lot of these guys that are on, you know, both of these teams, you probably say a large percentage of them are trying to fit holes rather than be the guy that's out being the Patrick Kane. So with that, I guess to kind of double up on your point, agree with you, and definitely give you that nod. Like you are seeing like the right thing. You're saying the right things, and you're seeing what we're seeing as Red Wings fans. And now you also saw exactly what Yzerman was speaking on. And you know, we're getting close to an hour here, so I don't want to keep you too much longer. But I mean, I feel like there ain't too many different ways to dissect what's going on with the Wings. I think the main point here for this conversation for Blackhawks fans to hear is that the Red Wings have made some subtle, maybe passive aggressive at times comments about their talent, but more subtle nods that they are open for business. So to that end, hey, probably 2 free wins.
Yep. We'll take them.
Yeah, I think if the Wings are going to be getting wins from now on moving forward, and I think one of the things that's going to change is I think our top goaltender, Jonathan Bernier, might be headed out sooner rather than later, especially due to COVID. I think you want to get these guys traded well before the trade deadline if there's a possibility. I think he just played himself off the team the last couple of weeks because he's doing too good. But put this nice little bow on there. It's just that we're going to see the Red Wings start making moves that are just going to probably damper the morale in the locker room. And that's because these guys aren't going to be here when this team is playoff worthy. So break some hearts, but it's fine. You're going to, what's the old saying? You're going to crush people's spirits to make an omelet. I think is the, I'm kidding. It's crack a few eggs, but your face.
Something like that. Yeah.
that's what we'll have to do to get this team into winning form. I mean, yeah, for Blackhawks fans, I mean, the only name you're probably going to recognize in the next couple of years, because I fear for how long Mantha's going to stick around with his getting benched so often and losing minutes, but it's probably just going to be Dylan Larkin at this point. Yeah. But
I feel bad for that kid, too.
it's one of those things, like, you did make mention of like, we don't have that guy that will a victory. I think he has the will, and I think he's a great captain. I just don't think he's not going to be Patrick Kane. He's not going to go out there and have whoever's, you know, hey, this is who my center is today. All right, you're going to get 2 or 3 points today. Like, it's just not who Dylan Larkin is. It's not who he's ever going to be. But he does have the heart. Like, he is hockey. Like, he's everything about hockey. He's probably going to be great in the Olympics. I bet he's going to bleed one extra color. That's going to be blue, besides the red and white he's usually bleeding. And I think that's going to be great for the Olympics. I think he's really going to look like a star there, especially with some better talent around him, because he'll be the guy mucking it up. He'll be the guy that's getting his nose dirty. But I'm probably breaking Red Wings fans' hearts right now, but that's probably the best word we're going to expect is, like, his best season will be something like upwards of 60 points, 70 points. He's going to look great. He's going to be this leader in the locker room. He's always going to skate hard, but he will not sniff a Hart Trophy his whole career. And that's fine. That's fine. Just saying. All right. I'm taking, like, you were supposed to come in and take the pot shots, and here I am running my team into the ground just out of frustration at this point. But I think I don't know if you have any parting thoughts, but I know I've talked myself into quite a hole here with Red Wings fans, so I should probably shut up at some point.
No, I mean, I think you've said basically everything that I've wanted to say, and
sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, there's really nothing else more to say. I mean, I am looking forward to our matchup this weekend.
That's good.
I'm looking forward to the 2 W's, and you know, just hang in there, you know, because
this is what's going to happen now. The Wings are going to win both games.
Yeah.
And I'm
going to
get chirped at the entire time of what a terrible Red Wings fan I am.
Yeah. Well, right after this series, we'll be playing the Tampa Bay Lightning 3 straight. So that is going to determine where we'll be for the rest of the season, I believe.
You know what?
I'm glad you're 6 points.
For Red Wings fans, we had the conversation last year. We said, start looking around for these other games to watch, because just get to know the rest of the NHL, know where you want to park your horse. That is huge. I didn't know you guys were about to go up against the Lightning. That right there, that's like your first playoff series of the season. So if you take 2 out of 3 right there, I don't know. That could be it. That I think you nailed it. That's like the series for the Blackhawks to say, is this legit?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at this past month. We've had 3 losses in the month of February, and 2, 4, 7 wins. So March is going to be tough because we play Tampa 3, and then Dallas twice, Florida twice, Tampa twice, Florida twice, Nashville twice. So, you know, those are going to be the teams that were expected to be in the playoff hunt.
Probably have an easier time with Nashville, I'm going to say.
Yeah, but that's like at the end of the it might, you know, we never know. We never know. Maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they'll start playing better. I doubt it because Nashville's just trash. So, you know, anyway, but yeah, I mean, I think it's this next month. March is going to be obviously the defining, I mean, for everybody too. I mean, it's right around playoff time. So, in terms of the shortened season. So, I think we're really going to understand the type of team that the Chicago Blackhawks are next month when we actually start playing, tougher competition. I don't want to say actually playing tougher competition because the competition we've played so far obviously has been stiff as well. I mean, Carolina, Columbus, there are no slouches. And of course, Detroit, you do have your problems, but there is parity in this league. Any team can beat any team on any given night. So again, you cannot take anybody lightly. We'll be taking Detroit lightly. But I am looking forward to the two Ws.
You can't take away from us is we will show up for all 3 periods wearing our jerseys and our skates. So we haven't missed a game yet this year.
That is something that we can definitely count on, I guess.
I will say, well, look out if there's one thing that and we'll probably go over this in our episode in a conversation with my brother, but there's one thing to look out for. I am kind of hopeful. There's our Svechnikov, who's the brother of the much better in Carolina. He is called up right now. He's just been a healthy scratch so far, or he's been in our taxi squad. For Blackhawks fans, if they want something interesting to look for in this Red Wings series, besides seeing how many times Lankinen can do a cartwheel in the net and watch him knock everything away, it would be an opportunity to see our Svechnikov and see if he can actually play up to his first round draft pick status. That's probably it. That popped in the old noggin. I wanted to... I'm just so negative about everything going on with the Red Wings. I was like, is there anything positive right now? Maybe Svechnikov will pull something up. All right. Grant, thank you so much. I hope we can connect again. Maybe we'll be closer in the standings and the Red Wings go on a 10-game.
Maybe.
Yeah, isn't that...
Anything can happen. Hey, anything can happen.
It's so hard to wrap these up now because the beginning of the season, I could just be like, all right, after this series, we'll be in first. And now it's...
If you believe it, you can achieve it.
Yes. See, you should be hosting the Red Wings podcast because I just bring everybody down. I'm just like, all right, here's our expected goals again. Guess what? You're terrible.
Still bad.
All right. Thanks for coming on again, man. I hope the Blackhawks fans, you enjoyed my... teardown of my own team.
Thank you so much for letting me come on, and always fun to jump on and talk to you, and hopefully it'll be soon.
Yeah, next time I promise I'm going to take some forced breaths so that I don't go on more 10-minute monologues. All right, thanks, man.
Yeah, this is going to be an hour and 21-minute banger for me. So this is perfect.
All right, been in a bunch of Hockey Podcast Network show ads in there.
Yes, sir. Yes,
or no, maybe just one. They're kind of long.
Yeah.
taking a shot. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
All right.